WZEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. He grew up on television playing the only son on The Cosby Show. Bill Cosby reacting to the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable.
He was very professional. 54 years old and always studied, always knew his part. He would have been one of Spencer Tracy's favorite actors. He never bumped into the furniture. He always knew his lines, and he always knew where to go.
Bill Cosby accused by multiple women of sexual assault and harassment, his conviction overturned on appeal. The FAA is investigating the near miss of that Delta regional jet and a B-52 over the skies of Minot, North Dakota. The pilot forced to make an abrupt maneuver to avoid the military jet, which had been executing a flyover at a state fair nearby. The list of countries calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza has grown to 28, with Greece, Malta, and Cyprus joining many others. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in Aquatic Invasive Species Snapshot Day on August 9th. According to a press release, the event is part of a statewide effort to get more residents involved in monitoring the state's waterways for invasive plants and animals that could threaten their natural ecosystem. Volunteers will gather at local training sites to learn how to identify invasive species before visiting designated monitoring areas. Residents can register to participate in the event online until August 8th. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing safety tips for kids riding ATVs and UTVs. DNR officials say there have already been 21 fatal crashes this year, most of which involved riders who were not wearing a helmet or seatbelt. They're reminding younger riders that helmets are required for anyone under 18 years old, and riders under 16 years old must operate age-appropriate vehicles. They're also reminding anyone born in 1988 or later that they are required to complete an ATV safety certification course before operating alone. The United States Coast Guard says two people were rescued from a sinking boat on Lake Superior near Bayfield over the weekend. According to Coast Guard officials, the incident occurred at around 7 p.m. on Friday. They say two people were on the boat when it started taking on water, and when their crews arrived at the scene, the boat had already mostly gone under. The two occupants were rescued from the water and brought to shore. Coast Guard authorities are still investigating what caused the boat to begin sinking. The criminal cases against a pair of Cumberland residents accused of delivering methamphetamine during a drug sting will go to trial this fall. 39-year-old Nicholas Schick and 35-year-old Amber Hirsch were both charged with felony delivery of meth as party to a crime in Barron County Circuit Court in relation to the drug sting. Both entered not guilty pleas to the charges, and jury trials for both were scheduled for November 3rd. If convicted, Schick and Hirsch are facing up to 12.5 years in prison and fines of up to $25,000. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Miz takes on the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Seattle, where the Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski faces the Mariners. The Crew winning last night 6-0. Brandon Woodruff went 6 innings on just 62 pitches, allowing only 2 hits in the shutout. Milwaukee now with an 11-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers sign right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal worth $88 million, over $30 million in a signing bonus, the largest ever for an NFL offensive lineman. What makes Zach Tom so special?
I think he can play any position. He kind of found his home at right tackle. I think his versatility is one of the things that makes him special. I think he can play all five, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that. I would say that he's got the athleticism. I think he's a very intelligent football player, and he's played pretty consistent over the course of the last few years.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Our low dropping into the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. It will be humid here the next couple of days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd. Parker Olson produces this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us from the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh in just a sec. And then later this hour, we will talk about ways that some groups in Wisconsin are holding politicians accountable. They may be about to go on their August recess, but that doesn't mean they won't still be held accountable for supporting a big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill in D.C. that's going to cause harm to a lot of folks in Wisconsin. We'll talk about those efforts and a successful effort to set a world record by some folks up north who want to call attention to a potentially dangerous oil and gas pipeline that's running through parts of northern Wisconsin. So that and much more still ahead. But first, let's head out to the EAA Air Venture, where meteorologist Brittany Merlot has positioned herself to have the aura of a rising sun right behind her to tell us what's happening. And she camps out at Air Venture in Oshkosh. Ms. Merlot, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. As you can see, the sun is shining here. It is so bright this morning. I'm trying to block it out of the way, but can't really get around it between the sounds of the Oshkosh and then the sun. It is a beautiful morning, but I will say when the sun comes up, every camper wakes up, right? You can't beat the sun. It wakes you up wide awake. Now, there's a lot of clouds, though, all across the state. 57 degrees right now into Green Bay, 73 into La Crosse. We are going to heat things up, and the humidity is going to start to seep in as this warm front nears us today. So we are climbing to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west. Those muggy, humid conditions are already moving in. Dew points are going to hit the low 70s today, and then by tomorrow morning, we are looking at some showers and storms definitely rolling through the area. Looks like they start around 5 a.m. Waves of them move through the state. Another one again in the evening and into the night, and that active pattern continues as that front sets up over northern Wisconsin and then drags itself through the rest of the state into Thursday. So as this moves in and continues to push this hot, humid air in, we're going to hit the mid-90s down south tomorrow. But then, of course, that rain going on up north, maybe some 70s up there. But it is going to be sticky. It is going to be feeling like triple digits with the heat index. And I am nervous with my tent. I'm not going to lie. I've got a little fan. It is solar powered, and that is all I have. I have no AC anywhere.
Ooh. Well, you, I mean, you're doing the whole roughing it thing here. To see all that's going on at Air Venture, tell us some of the stuff you got to see yesterday that you enjoyed.
The blimp, the Goodyear blimp, there's multiple of them. I thought it was just going to be one. No, there was three of them here. They were massive. It was cool to see them take off at like a 45-degree angle. I can't imagine being in there. It looked so much fun. There is just a bunch of planes everywhere, lots of people everywhere. It's hard to remember everything that happened yesterday because there's so many exhibits, speeches, things going on here that you can go and see. I would honestly say it's just making new friends. I've talked to a lot of volunteers here. I talked to the staff, security staff, to see what was going on and how they kind of run the event. And what do they do when severe weather happens? How do you get them out of here? What do they do? How much boarding do they have? So I was kind of digging into some of that kind of stuff. But overall, having fun.
Good. Do you measure steps? Do you know how many steps you put on yesterday?
Everybody was doing that yesterday. That's so funny. They were saying between 15 to 20,000 steps. I forgot to register mine. So I'll do it today. I'll let you know tomorrow.
That's you know what? I'll take it on faith that you did 15,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah, feels like it.
I am absolutely sure you did. And I think it's great that you're asking these questions about, you know, what happens if stormy weather happens out there. Obviously, it's happened. And, you know, folks are going to be looking at you and going,
I know.
Is it here yet? Is it coming yet? As if you carry around a radar, you know, on your wristwatch all the time or something like that.
But wristwatch, I wish I had it on the wristwatch. That would be great.
I know.
The pocket.
But you mentioned that folks from NOAA and the National Weather Service are there as well. So, I mean, they are definitely covered in terms of, you know, knowing what the weather's going to be like when it comes in. Have you heard much chatter yet about the near miss in North Dakota between the B-52 bomber and the commercial jet that was trying to land in Minot? Has that been a topic of conversation around there?
Ooh, not just yet. I'm sure that sounds like it's going to be a topic today, though.
I'm sure it will in terms of, who's got radar and who talks to who out there. So just so much to see and do around the Oshkosh area. So, Brittany, go enjoy it all. Are we talking to you tomorrow?
Yes, you are.
Depending on the weather, I suppose.
True.
And your comfort level. All right. Well, enjoy and we'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. Hey, by the way, a reminder that if you miss any of our shows last hour or something, you know, yesterday or last week, and you want to catch up on it, you can head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where every hour's program of this show and all the others are listed, you know, hour by hour, and you can go back and listen, or you can subscribe as a podcast to catch us as well. You just have to head over to Spotify or Apple and get yourself subscribed to this program, all the others, and you will never miss a thing again. Let's check the mailbag here from Rob in Tigerton. Good morning. Hazy sunshine, 59 degrees yesterday with lawn mowing jobs in Wittenberg. He had spaghetti for lunch at Brianna's in Wittenberg. It was very busy, most folks heading to the EAA. Today he's got lawn mowing jobs in Tigerton, getting them done before the heat, the humidity, and the storms come in. We played Supertramp in our last segment. And said, maybe there'll be a weather theme. Maybe tomorrow we'll play Super Tramps, It's Raining Again, a song that they had back in 1982. So we thank Rob for writing in. And a reminder that you all can do the same thing here by getting on Facebook or YouTube, jumping into the comment section like Roger did in Stevens Point to talk about how the Miz is on the hill tonight. That, of course, would be Jacob Mizorowski pitching for your first place Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, I said first place Milwaukee Brewers. They were winners against the Seattle Mariners yesterday. Final score was 6-0. In fact, while Brandon Woodruff went six strong innings, only gave up two singles, walked nobody. The fact of the matter was Seattle's George Kirby had carried a no-hitter into the sixth inning. But then the Brewers were able to bust things open. They tagged him for four runs after sending eight men to the plate in the sixth, and 6-0 was the final there. The Brewers now have won 11 in a row. 60 of their first 100 games. That's the first time in team history. And as we mentioned last hour, they're doing it with a different roster than the one that won the division last year. I mean, no Willie Adames, no Corbin Burns, no Devin Williams. But they're still getting things done. And Jacob Mizorowski, one of those new faces, will be the pitcher tonight. Pregame begins at 8:05 on several Civic Media stations. Then they will play. They'll wrap up the series in Seattle tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow's pregame will start at 2:05 in the afternoon. They are off on Thursday, and then they come home for a weekend series against the Florida Marlins. And then, of course, that really big series starting next Monday at home against the Chicago Cubs, because with yesterday's win, the Brewers moved into first place. They're holding it down on their own for the first time since early to mid-April. And so that Cubs series next week is just going to loom so much larger as we really start to head into the, final third of the season happening before long. Across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Jane Mattinair has Mattinair on Air along with Greg Bach coming up from 9 to 11 following our festivities here. Todd Albo will be joining Jane and Greg at 9:30. And then on Todd's show, Todd Alba's show from 2 to 4, you'll have Surjita Patra of Wisconsin Watch talking about increasing suicide rates among senior Wisconsinites. Then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 will have Angela Lang from Block in Milwaukee just after 4 o'clock and State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim just after 5 o'clock. Again, all of that coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where there aren't just programs here. There are also podcasts, and that would include one called Wisconsin Forward with Matt Rothschild. It's a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in the state, a little background on how we got to where we are today and what some folks are working on now, possible ways forward. It's a uniquely Wisconsin take on the big issues that are preventing progress and the people with ideas to move forward. You can subscribe and download Wisconsin Forward on Spotify, Apple, or on the Civic Media website as well. Every Tuesday or so, we try to give you an idea of what some of the most popular stories are over on our social media sites. If you search for Up North News or Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can see all the work that the rest of my team is doing throughout the course of the day. And I can tell you, looking at some information that Sherita Booker, our social media manager, shared with us, a preview of the EAA Air Venture was among the top three stories on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter late last week, in part because of the economic impact. You see, the last time anyone tried to measure the economic impact of that week-long fly-in, it came to about $170 million. But that study was done several years ago, and a new report is out and updates that figure. It is now a $257 million boost to the local economy. Actually, the regional economy, when you consider how far away you have to go to get a hotel room or camping space when you have more than 500,000 folks coming to town for the event. Over on Facebook, our most viewed story was about Pewaukee's future NFL Hall of Famer J.J. Watt. He recently stopped by a Badger football practice in Madison, and also had some thoughts on little brother TJ Watt's new contract extension that'll pay TJ over 3 years what JJ made in more than a decade in the NFL. On Instagram, far and away the post that was most viewed, most shared, and most commented on dealt with the Trump administration trying to withhold nearly $7 billion from Wisconsin school kids and State Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit to get those cuts restored. It's one of about two dozen lawsuits that Call and other attorneys general have filed as courts continue reminding President Trump that he's not a dictator, not yet anyway, and still has to follow the law, at least sometimes, when it comes to providing the funds that Congress had already approved earlier. And over on TikTok, our top post dealt with homelessness in rural Wisconsin. It is very much a growing problem, and rural communities, of course, are already facing tough budgets when it comes to helping people who are just trying to keep a roof over their heads. But while Governor Tony Evers proposed solutions, Republicans in the legislature, a great many of them from rural districts, removed any increase in state help before passing the new state budget. And as always, you can read up about all of our latest posts on your favorite social media channel, plus our newsletter, plus our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And in terms of, you know, Governor Evers and his state budget, of course, we're now waiting on him to tell us whether he'll be running for re-election. Will he run for a third term next year or not? We will be talking in just over an hour from the recombobulation area. That would be Dan Schaefer. Because it's a quiet time in Wisconsin politics right now. I know I've tried booking some legislators as guests. We're going to have a couple coming on this week to talk about a bill that would help regulate cryptocurrency in Wisconsin, make sure that there aren't scams that can rip people off, especially when you see these ATM-looking things that let you deal in cryptocurrency, making sure that they really are worth something if you're going to try to do business here in Wisconsin. So we'll have State Senator Kelda Royes and State Representative Ryan Spouty on Thursday morning to talk about that. But otherwise, things are a little quiet out there in politics land. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that in an hour. A local update is next for some of you. Others will visit with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, this is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North on WBZH on a Tuesday morning. And we are Joel here and Gray over there. You'll be hearing us here in the 7 o'clock hour quite frequently here as we talk about a little bit of everything. Gray, you and I, on air, we like to talk about things and then take a point of view that maybe other people don't quite take yet.
Are you calling me weird?
Well, yeah, both of us are very weird.
Good.
So
say it.
Yesterday,
say it out loud.
Yesterday's segments on flea markets was one. Today, maybe not so weird. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL. Packers were excited. The quarterbacks, the rookies have reported. I think the real camp starts, what, tomorrow, is it, I believe, where people are...
Yes. Different people will report different days based on how much experience they have in the league, but the rookies will be there bright and early this week.
Yeah, so everything's getting cranked up. The bicycles will be out there at down over at Lambeau Field, and the tradition of the Packer training camp, and it's a fun time for fans to really get they can get up close to the players at these camps. I mean, they can get closer than they. Really, than you can at any point during the season, I think, right?
Right, and I hate to be a pessimist, but it seems like one of those things that just can't last forever. You know, you can't get that up close and personal with people like football players anywhere that I know of but Green Bay like that. And I know, like, after a Super Bowl, they throw a parade in Philly if Philly wins again, and you can get pretty close up to their tour buses and stuff. But this is different, you know? These guys are right there. And I mean... If you want the perfect example, if you've been to Lambeau, you already know what I'm talking about because it's grandma's house, uncle's house, Lambeau Field, right there. And it's just like that. Players, normal people, side by side.
And the training camps, which I guess officially start tomorrow and practice, starts open to the public. Check the schedules online. But training camp for the Packers is very unique. And I mentioned this to you off air before. There's not many places that hold their training camps like right there where the real game happens too. Even the Minnesota Vikings, their stadium is downtown. Their training camp is out in a suburb at a facility, you know, kind of cool. There's some teams that don't even hold it in the same state or because it's so hot. So that tradition of having, why would you go anywhere else? It makes sense to have it right there in Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, I think the weather is a bigger factor than you might think, because think of the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they're not going to be practicing in Phoenix or Flagstaff in July. No. So like, yeah, no, they can't do what we are perfectly set up for. I mean, there was a low of 48 degrees last week. In July. So, yeah. The Packers are like, you know what? In November, getting tackled, not so great. Yeah. In July, that training camp, though, it's a give and take, no matter where you go. And it's just like for us, you know, you sit there when you're shoveling, and halfway through the shoveling job, you're thinking, why do I even live where I have to shovel? And then you pull up news of tropical storms. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why.
Yes.
That is exactly why.
And taking a kind of a Northern Wisconsin, a Hayward look at the Packers, I think it's very unique. The location of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, and I was thinking about this the other day, it's not that far from everybody, really, Green Bay, if you look at it. Maybe the far western side of the state is the closest.
Oh,
but,
right.
But even Hayward. Hayward, you can go Lambeau Field, see the game, come back home, not be home at a crazy time. The accessibility of the Packers in Lambeau Field, I think, even for folks up in Hayward, in this Hayward area, is real. It's right there. It's really not that far.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think of that, and immediately my first thought is unintended benefit of highway towns. You know, towns like Park Falls over there existing because two highways meet, or because one highway meets a river. You know, inevitably you're just about three roads from all the major population centers. So going from Hayward to Green Bay, well, I can give you a two-road general route, and I know every listener can too. You can tell me what two highways, which one to take south, which one to take east, and voila, you're right there. I mean, I remember when I was living in Eau Claire, we went over for a preseason game. I couldn't believe how fast you can just zip across the state on 10. It's absolutely awesome. The farthest you can get from watching your hometown team is still... you know, it's only 4 hours. We drive half an hour to the grocery store, tack on a couple extra minutes. You got the Packers right there. It's fantastic. That's why you live in the heartland right here.
I love the exaggerated Uper accent. I can't
turn it off sometimes, Joel. It might be stuck this way. You know, like your eyes when you're watching the TV too close.
Going into this training camp this week, I guess... To me, and I'll be full disclosure, I'm a Viking fan. You're a Packer fan, obviously.
Forgot.
But I think watching Mr. Golden at wide receiver might be the spotlight, right? To see what he's got.
100%. Yeah. 100%. As Mark Murphy said when he announced that pick for the first time in 22 years, or 23 years, Javon Walker. Was it Walker? Either way, it's been over two decades since they drafted a receiver in the first round. And we've got a lot of wide receivers in the room right now. So it really said something that they still added something to that room, because they looked at it and said, hey, not only do we not have the piece we need, we're missing multiple pieces. They went and they got Savion Williams in the third round as well. And between those two guys, you've got two completely different skill sets, archetypes. Sure, they could be used similarly, and there's a lot of overlap in what they can do. But those guys, to me, you don't do what the Packers did this April unless those guys are your eventual plan. Like, I think the Packers did that because they're going to let Romeo Doubs go here sometime soon. Keep Jaden Reed. Christian Watson, we'll see how that injury heals. He's blown up his knee twice now. So I see Golden and Williams as the eventual one and two, at least in the minds of the front office.
And a very unique year, I think, where all four of the teams in the NFC North Division, all four teams have expectations of playoffs. Anything short of the playoffs, even for the Bears, they're expecting Caleb Williams, and with some of the things they picked up, they're expecting to be a playoff team. Playoffs is the bar this year for all four teams in the division. Kind of a rare year to have that for all the teams, right?
100%. And last year was incredible. I wish the Bears had picked it up a little bit sooner, but they were heating up, and they were undefeated in the division last year. Did you guys lose to the Bears twice? I believe that was the whole crazy thing, was they kind of stunk it up in the second half after that Hail Mary nonsense, but they were undefeated in the division. So, like, the Bears pulling things. No, they couldn't have been undefeated in the division because then they would have won the division.
They had a good record in the division.
Either way, yeah, the Bears had a lot of potential. Now they've got a new head coach. That's what's stopping me from diving headfirst into every single team. Last year, I was behind everybody but the Bears. This year, everybody's got an asterisk, except the Lions. My pick's the Lions.
Yeah, more Packer talk randomly over the next couple of weeks here in the 7 o'clock hour on the Buzz of the North. It's Pat Kreitlow's show, so we got to turn it back over to him in just a moment here on WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, despite the uncertainty with tariffs in the forecast and not knowing what Mother Nature is going to do, still, farmland values remain strong. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news influencing our markets. Yeah, that's right. The demand for farmland continues to be robust across the United States. That's the word from Paul Schottig. He's the Senior Vice President of Real Estate with Farmers National Company. And he says the bottom line is the people that are buying farmland are the people that want to use that farmland.
They are the ones that are a little more aggressive. There's been, there's a lot of those guys that have been through the tough times in the 70s and 80s, and they learned a lesson. They said, I've got to deploy my cash in smarter ways. And so there's a lot of those producers out there that have made great decisions, and their pocket might still have some cash in it. And so when the farm next door comes up for sale or when they want to expand their operation, they can do that.
That's Paul Schottig. He's the Senior Vice President of Real Estate with Farmers National Company. He says really they're noticing farmland values remain robust everywhere with particular strength in the I-states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. We'll get you up to speed on where the markets stand on a Tuesday morning next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Not much movement yesterday in the dairy complex. Barrel and block cheese both were unchanged. The AA butter on Monday dropped a penny and a quarter to $2.50 a pound. Little softer start this morning as far as our commodities are concerned. Right now we've got September corn down a penny, December new crop down a penny and a half at $4.21. August soybeans are down three, November new crop unchanged at $10.26 and a half. The wheat for September is down four at $5.38, December down four, $5.59. August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 6 this morning at $17.57. September's unchanged at $18.09 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Our low dropping into the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. It will be humid here the next couple of days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this breed, is Sue. Breed. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Remember to stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. That includes our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where there is a question of the week that we like to share. And this time around, it's about candidate for governor Bill Berrien already dropping $400,000 in advertising to build up his name ID, because nobody knows Bill Berrien outside of his friends and family and his Christmas card list. So he's got to advertise, even though it's more than a year before the primary for governor, and without even knowing if Governor Tony Evers is running or not. So our question of the week asks what you think of that. Is it a case of A, you hate it? In fact, you hate it so much you might even hold it against him for running ads this early. What about option B, where it's I don't like it, but I get it? You know, you gotta spend some money to get your name ID out there. And we gave you an option C. You like it. You actually like that a candidate shows some initiative and wants to talk to voters right away. Well, Joe H. probably sums it up best. She didn't just put A. She put like a string of them, like A, with an angry emoji face after that. And Mary writes, I hate it, in all caps. And then she writes, sorry for the all caps. Wishing there was a time limit as to when campaigns run, including all ads and mailings and social media. Mary, how great would that be if we could just have everything limited to a very brief time frame to get all the information out there, but not have it last for a year or 4 years or whatever. Linda Z went with option B, saying, I don't like it, but I get it. And she, too, writes, I still think all campaigns should be limited to 6 months prior to voting day. You know, that might actually make for a good follow-up question of the week is, you know, if you could limit campaigns and say, you know, they're going to be announced here and the deadlines are here, the election day is here, how much should they be? Because, you know, at some point, if an election campaign is too short, you're not going to be a very well-informed voter. You may not learn everything about a candidate until after they've taken office. We already know campaigns can be too long. I'm just saying that they can be too short as well. So Goldilocks, what's just right? Is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Something like that. Again, I don't know that we could necessarily pull it off, but if you could, you and your magic wand, what would it be? You can always send us a note here. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's do a follow-up for something we talked about in May, and it's all about the Enbridge Line 5 oil and gas pipeline that is slated to be rerouted around the Bad River tribal community, but still running through the Bad River watershed where it could pose a danger to Lake Superior. And back in May, we heard from Jadine Sonoda of the Sierra Club for Wisconsin and a project where they were trying to break the world record for the most origami fish collected and displayed. Why collect origami fish and have them displayed? As a way to show public opposition to Line 5, not just the reroute, but to the line existing entirely. And it seemed rather ambitious. They were going to have to collect more than 18,303 origami fish, but they put up a website, fishforfuture.org. And so here's a little bit of what Jadine Sonoda told us back on May 5th about the project, about the origami fish, about standing up to the Enbridge Line 5 project, And I started by asking her about the Sierra Club here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin chapter, as you said, is part of the broader organization of Sierra Club, which operates across the nation. We focus a lot on statewide issues. So we've got members and volunteers really across the whole state working on a variety of issues, also focusing on local issues in particular areas. But yeah, we're really looking at climate, conservation, and how all of these pieces intertwine with environmental justice. And so today I'm here to talk a little bit about one of our campaigns focused on Line 5.
And that Line 5, for folks that don't know the full background on it, it is a pipeline that has existed for decades. It's getting near the end of its natural lifespan. And there's certainly been dispute from the Bad River community, and to the point where Enbridge is looking to reroute the line around the reservation community there. But even rerouting that line, Jadine, would not take it out of the potential to do immense harm to the Bad River, and then, you know, flowing right into Lake Superior, not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some incredible maps that look at the route that Enbridge, the pipeline company, is proposing to construct in, and just the number of waterways that it cuts across. It's really scary to think about. We've seen the impacts of Enbridge's construction, for example, with Line 3 in Minnesota a couple years ago, and just the devastation of punctured aquifers and frackouts of drilling fluid. So there's a lot of worry that this construction and continued operation of the pipeline would result in damages both to the waterways and to especially the sloughs in the area and Lake Superior.
And so wherever that line ends up going, it could be a potential threat. We've certainly seen it spill in other places like Michigan. Enbridge had a major spill there. And so let's get into the project that is designed to demonstrate public opposition to, you know, that potential for an environmental disaster. What is the world record that you're trying to set, and how are you going about doing it?
Good question. So we're really looking for something fun and a way to talk about this that's positive and uplifting. And we were thinking, what better way than to try and set a world record? We're going to be attempting to break the world record for our largest collection of origami fish. The record is currently 18,303. And we are working our way up towards that number. But the intention here is to really find a way to talk about Line 5 and especially the importance of protecting the Great Lakes while we're doing a fun activity, a way to like get people engaged from all age spans, from places that might not be interested in just like hearing about Line 5, but think an art project is really cool. It's been amazing. I feel like people have been really excited about it. And kind of like I had mentioned before, we've got a lot of new people who are learning about the importance of protecting the Great Lakes and how Line 5 threatens the Great Lakes. We've got a lot of schools who are participating. I've heard of someone who is bringing this to a nursing home that they work in. We've got a lot of faith communities who are participating. Just in general, I feel like it's been a really great opportunity to reach more people and find something that is really exciting and a way to uplift the positive pieces of protecting the water and the watersheds and the areas that we all live in.
So that was Jadine Sonoda back on May 5th talking to us about the Sierra Club role in collecting the origami fish. So here's the update, as we got from Megan Whitman out at the Sierra Club. Again, the number that they had to break for collecting fish was 18,303. The final total they've collected, 86,262. I mean, they smashed the world record. What is that's like five times the amount that they were seeking to get, which again they believe demonstrates tremendous opposition to the project. They said they received fish from all 50 states plus Puerto Rico, Canada, Mexico, and the Netherlands. Fish were made by more than 70 groups across the Great Lakes region, including religious organizations, schools, scouting groups, climate action organizations, and more. So a successful effort to get a world record and call attention to a big environmental priority here up north. Also taking place recently was a program put on by the group Opportunity Wisconsin to highlight Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and all of the cuts that are coming to
regular middle-class Wisconsin families to help pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And Opportunity Wisconsin paired up with an ice cream parlor in Eau Claire to start a food drive to call attention to the cuts to nutrition programs. That's because Sunday was National Ice Cream Day, and the owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in Eau Claire was part of a food drive that is going to help a local charity, the Community Table, and call attention to the cuts in food benefits being supported by their congressman, Derek Van Orden. So through the end of the month, anyone who brings in a non-perishable food item to Ramon's in Eau Claire is going to get a certificate for a free cone or dish. The folks at Opportunity Wisconsin noted that the Trump mega bill is going to cut food assistance for tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to pay for those tax breaks. Blaine Midtoon, the owner of Ramon's, has done all kinds of cones for a cause efforts, raising more than $300,000 over the years for various concerns. And he is understandably perplexed at how it's become a partisan thing, whether to give tax cuts to the rich or feed the poor.
Really, above everything, this should be a nonpartisan type issue at our local level, right here in the Chip Valley, right here in Eau Claire. Political parties have been founded on the belief that small government, but then when small government is in place, that it is up to local community, it's up to the churches, the spiritual institutions, it's up to our neighbors, it's up to our local officials, and it's up to each and every single one of us. So when things are good, we have that opportunity to spread money around, invest in ourselves, invest in our children, that kind of thing. But then we also have that opportunity to give back on a local level as well. And that's where those dollars are really important. That's where the community giving is really important. And that's something that we've really kind of strived for with Ramon's in the last 9 years since we opened in 2017, is we have a program called Cash for Cause. And in the 9 years that we've been open, we've raised and we've given back over $300,000 to local organizations and nonprofit institutions, just like the Community Table, many, many times over with the Community Table and other organizations here in the Chippewa Valley that are helping residents right here in Eau Claire, because there are shortcomings.
That's Blaine Midtoon, again, the owner of Ramon's. And the food drive, like I said, will benefit the Community Table. Executive Director TJ Atkins says about half the people they serve at the Community Table are currently unhoused, a stat that really jumped post-COVID. And from Opportunity Wisconsin, here's Ethan Reed, who talks about how really what Van Orden and Brian Stile are doing amounts to a double whammy, not just the cuts in nutrition programs, but the increase in food prices from things like Donald Trump's trade war tariffs.
Just weeks ago, Congressman Derek Van Orden voted for the Republican tax law that cuts food assistance for Wisconsinites to pay for billionaire and corporate tax breaks. State officials have warned that as many as 90,000 Wisconsinites could lose SNAP benefits because of this law. At the same time, news reports show that tariffs are increasing the cost of food and other goods like the aluminum, you see behind us, making it even harder for families to put food on the table. This is a double burden no family should have to bear. No family should have to worry about where their next meal is coming from or how they'll afford groceries, yet that is the current reality for too many Wisconsinites. Instead of alleviating this crisis, Congressman Derek Van Orden and Republicans in Congress are taking food from their constituents and raising prices to give more tax breaks to the wealthy.
And so Opportunity Wisconsin is, bringing up the tariffs as well. And he said the aluminum behind me, what he meant was all those canned goods. They're in aluminum cans. And so for everybody, whether their nutrition programs are being cut or not, they're going to face higher costs, all because of the tariffs that the Trump administration has put into place. All right, a local break is coming up next for some of you, and for others, we continue with our new regional segment, Way Up North, where we're going to talk to folks who live up in the Bayfield, Ashland, Superior areas about issues that are important in far northwest Wisconsin. All that just ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More of Pat Kreitlow in the morning on the Buzz of the North. WBZH coming up. Joel here. Gray is with us on a Tuesday morning. And we are, summer's going too fast, Gray. It's going too fast here. Right?
July's almost over, Joel.
Yeah, I know, I know. Enjoying a beautiful summer day here. In the Hayward area. We talk about all different subjects. We take a little different twist, a little different look at some things. I want to talk about something that's going on today and happens quite a bit here in the Hayward area. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf is something that's available today from 10 to 3. This is at the Spider Lake Church, the Hayward campus located out on 77 here in Hayward. And I think I want to talk a little bit about this, Gray, and kind of get your feedback on it. Literally, feedback. You get that? Food pantry?
You really did.
And because I'm involved with the food pantry here in the Northwoods, I'm on a board of directors. And I think food shelves are something that there's so much volunteer time and so much work that goes into making these available to those people here, not only here, but in the big cities. It's all across the country. And I really think food shelves are really a parallel to what America believes in and what they want, and helping others in their time of need, and people giving financially and people giving of time to make something that's obviously food. I mean, if you don't have it for 24 hours, try it once. It's pretty crucial to have it. And food shelves, I think, are a great part about just humanity. Humanity.
It's one of the things I think of first when you look at population trends steadily going gently downwards, but getting a bit of a lift in the last few years, and those are the first things I think of is you know, the level of need rarely changes in an area, but the level of what's around sometimes can. Like, look over, I mean, not far away, and you see towns with, you know, you get a little bit of industry that leaves town, and all of a sudden, holy cow, you get some scary questions. And the food shelf is the answer to a lot of those questions. There's an organization active in a couple places in the area. Ruby's Pantry comes to mind, too. I know I saw them on the community calendar recently. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about them again sometime soon. I think, was it at Spider Lake? They do a pop-up, too. So big shout out to Spider Lake Church for hosting those kinds of things. But no, in this case, the Northwoods Food Shelf, every Wednesday and Friday at the Spider Lake Youth Center on the church campus there on 2777. So, just like you said, it's what neither of us have said is it's not possible without them. I think it's tough to say that because it's tough to believe, not because it's not logical, but because it doesn't feel good to believe that. You know, you want to believe we're in a place that's so beautiful, so perfect, and yeah, we might be closer to perfect than anywhere, but nobody and nowhere truly is, and doing a little extra is what we do about that.
Yeah, and I think it's a rare part of our society that serves all ages, from the young kids all the way to senior citizens. Sometimes you have older people, may lose a spouse, they have medical problems, all of a sudden all their money's going to the hospital. They don't have any money for food. And we know how expensive food has become. And there's just a lot of great programs in place, like a TFAP program and a Feed My People that help out these local pantries. But I tell you what, I can tell you right now from experience that the reason why these food pantries exist is because of local financial support. It's local people constantly stepping forward to keep the lights on and to keep everything going. It's just local people helping local people. My brother was involved, still is involved, in working at a soup kitchen in Minneapolis. And he talks about the numbers of people that use it there, and my jaw just drops.
I can't even imagine. I mean, we don't ever, how do you replace that value? You know, what is the value of that kind of service? Well, I'm sure it's somewhere in upwards of seven figures, but the moment you try to put a price on it, hey, we're arguing all of a sudden. So it's beautiful that's just not happening, and that what is happening is what needs to happen.
And there are a lot of places, a lot of big companies that behind the scenes support these food pantries, who give food that may be expired or whatever reason may be, the Walmarts, the Quick Trips, and all that stuff. They do a lot of this stuff behind the scene. You don't see the story because that headline doesn't appeal to people. It's not a click. It's just like Walmart helping the needy. People are like clicking, you know, they want to hear the scam. They don't want to hear the good news. But there's a lot of big corporations that put a lot of time and effort into getting their food that they can't use for whatever reason anymore into the hands of people who need it. So a hats off. We bash the big corporations, but they do good stuff, a lot of good stuff too.
Especially particular key ones. I won't blanket trend any group like that especially, but no, there's definitely some ones out there that you don't have to look far to see the signs.
Yeah, the food pantry again is going on today from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Spider Lake Church in Hayward out on 77 has that going on today. If you are in need and want to take advantage of that, there'll be a lot more town festivals, Gray, that we'll be covering here over the next couple of weeks. I know we got a tradition of Jack Pine Savage Days. I'm going to give you some real good history on that next week, because I actually was involved in the very first ever Jack Pine Savage Days. I was involved and was the star of a TV commercial promoting it.
You heard it here first. Joel, the face of Jack Pine Savage Days, and to blame for the whole affair.
not the face of it. I was just a part of it. There was a couple of guys by the name of Larry Peterson and Rob Mitchell that started it.
You can't backpedal now. You can't backpedal now. You're going to break your ankles backpedaling that hard.
In the early 90s, and I may still have a TV commercial somewhere in my archives that may pop up at some point from Jack Pine Savage Days. And that commercial may or may not have been influenced, the entertainment level may have been influenced by a stop at Chi-Chi's and a 2-for-1 margarita special beforehand. So,
you just unlocked a memory of a burrito eaten out of a Frisbee. Oh, man. I bet I still have that Frisbee somewhere where we store all of our yard toys from 2003.
Eating a burrito out of a Frisbee?
Chi-Chi's.
Oh, yeah.
They used to, nice. If you got a kid's meal at Chi-Chi's in the right, there was a sweet spot in time where, first of all, you got to go to a Chi-Chi's. And if you got a kid's meal, you got to eat out of a Frisbee.
Yes, yes.
That gave me the unreasonable expectation that I should throw my food vessels in the future. Like, I always thought after that Chi-Chi's trip that whatever you serve me out of, it should fly straight if I throw it.
This is a whole other show about food. You never know what Gray and Joel will lead into here. 7 o'clock weekday mornings on Pat Kreitlow up north with Pat Kreitlow. We'll let Pat have the microphone back here in just a moment on WBZH, the buzz of the north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration releasing more than 250,000 pages of records related to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but still nothing new on Jeffrey Epstein, says ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Now, the DOJ's request to release the Epstein grand jury testimony is still making its way through the courts, a process that could take months. Meanwhile, we've learned that this request will go before a federal judge who sparked fierce backlash from Republicans back in February when he limited DOJ's access to sensitive Treasury Department records.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he is interested in hearing himself from former Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell, the only person besides Epstein ever charged with sex trafficking in the case. Hazy, hot, humid conditions from St. Louis down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 112 degrees today. By tomorrow, Chicago could see the hottest weather it's seen all year long. This is ABC News.